The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Welcome to a Tuesday. It's a brand new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show because, I slack off on Mondays. It's just the way things are. Anyway, so Tuesday is our Monday, and oh my goodness, what a weekend it's been. We have so much territory to cover today. So we may get into the funny a little later, but usually we try to start off with something humorous to kind of get us in the mood, to lighten the load a little bit, knowing that things are going to get serious later on. But today we'll hold on to that for a little bit because I've got a special guest on the line. Let me think where to begin. Back in 1997, I had been living in Los Angeles doing music radio there, and my radio station was sold, and I went to work for a trade magazine for a little while. And I hated it because it was doing promotion on records rather than being honest about records. So after 6 months, I wound up moving down to San Diego and taking a job at an awesome alternative station down there that you may have heard of called 91X. And I bring this up only to introduce our first guest, who was my coworker. Back then, he went by Matty. Today, he's all grown up, and he's Matt. Matt Keating. Hey, Matt Keating. You'll always be Matty to me.
Oh, thank you.
And so we reconnected a few years back. It was actually during the 2016 campaign when you reached out to me and told me that you were basically traveling the country organizing for Bernie Sanders, which, of course, stole my heart all over again. So and after the 2016 campaign, you're living in Oregon these days, and you actually ran for office yourself. Yes. So you are now an elected official.
Yeah, I currently serve on the Board of Education at Lane Community College in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay, cool. And you, so in 2016, you were a delegate, right, to the convention. You were a Bernie delegate, weren't you?
Yeah, that was my third convention.
Wow.
As a national delegate, a pair of Obama delegate appearances representing the state of Oregon, the bluest, greenest state in the nation. And I was a Sanders delegate in 16 and shifted, of course, my support to our Democratic nominee. Mm-hmm. At the convention, did what Bernie asked us to do,
right,
and lean in and tried to work as hard, if not harder, to elect Hillary Clinton in 2016. She's shattered a glass ceiling, and I suspect in 2020 and beyond, more ceilings will be shattered and flown all the way through.
Okay.
So it's an exciting time to be a Democrat. But I think you have me on to talk about not only what happened this weekend in
yes.
San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
but looking forward to the 400 and some odd days until a most historic election when we repeal and replace the madman.
Absolutely. Just one thing before we move into that. For those watching on YouTube, I'm putting up a picture on the screen that, Matt, you posted the other day on Monday. It was National Radio Day or something like that. and you pulled out a picture from 91X of a gathering of the staff. I don't have many 91X pictures, so this was so cool. So there we are on the screen. I've circled me and Matt, so you can see the two of us. Those of you watching on YouTube, there you go. All right, now.
Yeah, I've got that funky blue hat. That's my granddad's hat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He was pretty stylish back in the day.
The memories.
So 1997, I'm just a pup. That was my first. That was my second. I came from Denver, but I had just turned 21 and was on a major market radio station. And Nicole, you are so fun to work with. You have so many legendary great stories. And it's cool to catch up.
I felt like grandma there because I was the old broad. I was working on the morning show with Chris Cantore, who's still doing mornings in San Diego. And I was like the old lady. I remember when I first met Chris, he's like, oh my God, Nicole, I grew up listening to you with Mark and Brian. It's like, okay, I'm old. So anyway, ancient history. And here we are today, both progressive political activists concerned, certainly still loving our music and our dogs, but concerned about the future of this country. And so I'm looking at your Facebook page, and I see that you are a member of the DNC and you represent Oregon. And there you were in San Francisco this weekend for the DNC summer meetings. And I got wind of a little bit of trouble in paradise. I think it was Thursday when the resolutions committee met and they struck down, and tell me, I'm probably getting terminology wrong, so correct me when I'm wrong, because chances are I'm wrong about some of this. They struck down, the committee did, the idea of a climate-only debate. And then once the committee voted it down, there was still an opportunity for it to be brought up before the entire convention on Saturday, which is then what happened. Do I have that right?
So they're in committee, and mind you, I'm not a member of the resolutions committee, but I as a member of the DNC, I did observe and participate in that I supported, I want to say at least seven or eight resolutions, several that were actually calling for a multi-candidate debate or forum on critical issues, including, but not limited to, the climate crisis.
Okay.
And the one I was most proud of, resolution number 5, that was promoted by the Washington State Democratic Party chair, ultimately didn't go as far as we wanted in committee. The one that was moved forward in committee was resolution number 4, and it still revolved around a climate crisis forum, a multi-candidate forum or debate, and that's ultimately that amended resolution. Is what came to the floor.
Okay.
Here's the good news, though, Nicole.
Yeah.
Is that though there was a lot of great debate, our delegation from Oregon stood united in the support of this concept of a climate debate or a climate conversation or a climate forum, and so the DNC as a whole, though there was debate about process, I'm convinced. It's reflected in our Saturday general session meeting that the DNC as a whole, our members are unanimous in recognizing the climate crisis. The problem is that there are many crises that the GOP and Donald Trump in particular are exacerbating. And it's the Democratic Party that's working to try and fix it.
Of
and
course.
In particular, Oregon's delegation and the delegation representing the Western Caucus are actively trying to find a way, an active abatement to the critical climate crises.
Right. And that needs to be done. Now, in terms of debates, I guess it was a lot of semantics in terms of what's a debate and what's a forum, because actually I believe next week or sometime this month, MSNBC has a climate forum, I think in the next week or two, and then CNN is going to have one as well. But the way the DNC rules are written, the candidates can't be on the stage at the same time and they can't address one another. So it's like these other parades that have gone on at different events around the country where it's a one after another and each candidate gets like 5 minutes to talk. And, you know, I'm sorry. I want to hear them talk with each other. I want to hear ideas being thrown around. I want to hear a debate. And they're saying, no, that's not going to happen.
And here's the good news, though. Maybe there's an opportunity for a more substantive conversation, a more fleshed out thought process. that maybe a little more genuine than the kind of soundbite attack each other approach. You know, even the debates can devolve, as you know, and thankfully our Democratic candidates are not swiping each other and you know, have the eye on the ball and the eye on the prize, and that's to take back the White House and take back the United States Senate, take back the House in 2020. Mind you, I advocated strongly for a multi-candidate climate crisis debate, as did the rest of our delegation
right
here in the Beaver State. Here's the silver lining. Possibly a more substantive conversation through this forum process, the two of which you alluded to on MSNBC and CNN in September. And B, the whole conversation has now been amplified in a way that it may not have been had we just moved forward with those resolutions. You know, folks were passionate on both sides of, mm-hmm. of the conversation. But again, I recognize that it's the Democratic Party, certainly not the Republican Party or Trump's Republican Party as it stands, who are even tackling the summit. The man doesn't even show up. He is an empty chair at this point when it comes to discussing climate on a global level and the crises that we're facing, this existential threat to our planet, to all life that inhabits this beautiful planet. So, you know, look, has the conversation been amplified and elevated in a way that it's never been? Yes. What is it? It's 20... If you're 21, 22, or 23, all of the Democratic candidates, certainly all the ones that I saw this weekend, are all on board for a greater climate conversation.
Right.
So between that and our epic Sunrise Youth Movement, mm-hmm. who are highlighting the issue with passion and vigor
amazing.
And energy. Pardon me?
They're amazing, these kids.
They're so good. They were so inspiring. Nicole, after that resolutions meeting that we talked about at the top mm-hmm. of this conversation, our chair, Casey Hansen, and I went out to the hall and thanked every one of them that we could, because they're our future, and they're fighting for an inhabitable, it's wild is it that we have to say this, we're fighting for an inhabitable planet, fighting for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
You know, I don't want to talk about process, I want to talk about solutions.
Right.
And Donald Trump has babies taking care of babies in the most deplorable and disgusting conditions on our southern border. We have climate refugees all over the planet. Sea levels are rising. The ice caps are melting. No one, the so-called president of these United States is rolling back Obama era protections.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the coal industry, whether it's a lack of or whether it's just gutting the EPA. Or allowing for trophy hunters, allowing for big donors to get passes to go and trophy hunt.
Killing the Endangered Species Act. Killing the Endangered Species Act. I mean, really, when you think everything, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, at age 8 years old, I used to get zoo books and I would cry reading about these endangered animals. And now we've been killing off 65% of the world's population in the last 40 years. There's something fundamentally wrong. If the president of these United States can't recognize it, it's just one of 8 million reasons why he should be repealed and replaced. And I'm voting not just blue, no matter who, I'm voting blue against you know who.
Yes, well, so am I. I'm voting blue against you know who, as I did last time. And you know, I was not a Hillary Clinton fan. But the vote blue, no matter who, I've got a problem with that. Wait till the general for that. We're still in a primary where I think it's our responsibility to vote for the best possible candidate. And I think this year we're really lucky. We've got riches here. I've got, you can't see me, but I'm holding up my Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders action figures that keep me company here in the studio while I'm on the air. So,
I have a Warren action figure at my studio right
awesome.
Here as well.
There you go.
So you know, I was in Iowa so we actually connected. Both of us were Democracy for America fellows back in
2010, I was.
2010.
Yeah.
We're dating ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I found myself working with MoveOn.org and was in Iowa in early 2015 to try and draft Warren as part of the Run Warren Run movement.
Yep.
And so, you know, it She was my first choice in 2015. Mm-hmm. After meeting all those candidates, Bernie was my second choice. Mm-hmm. And I put my life on hold for a year, of course. And as you alluded to, traveled the country, registered voters,
yep,
hired folks
you
up.
Did.
And then ultimately Secretary Clinton was the only choice to beat Donald Trump. We can't let folks sit on the sidelines this year.
Well, exactly.
With a crop of great candidates we have, I'm confident that through our primary processes and our caucus processes, that the best candidate will rise to the occasion. And that team, that future president and vice president of these United States will have to right a ship, because our democracy and our republic, our reputation, and the stake and livability of the entire planet are at stake. We say it every election, Nicole, this is the most important election of our lifetime and future generations' lifetime.
Without a doubt. Hey, Matt, I got one more question for you. You know, obviously, we're on my show now. We're live on the Nicole Sandler Show. But this week, I'm also guest hosting the Bradcast with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And Desi does the Green News Report. And she's got a question for you. She said, can they explain what I imagine is a balancing act for the DNC? How to educate the public about climate change solutions and appease the youth voters they need without triggering Republicans and endangering campaign donations, which they'll need to combat the fossil fuel industry's tsunami of dark money? How's that for a question?
That's a heck of a question.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this climate crisis as to how it affects our livability, how it affects the economy, how it affects our daily lives, and how it affects our not just our coastal communities, but how it affects our relationship right in the heartland of our nation, our farmers' relationship with the rest of the world. Mm. Here we are in the hottest summer on record.
Yeah.
The Amazon is on fire. It's the hottest. Today's the hottest. In the city I live in, Eugene, Oregon, today's the hottest day of the year.
Yeah, I believe it. I can't even walk outside here. And we have a hurricane headed our way, just in case anyone was wondering. It's now Tropical Storm Dorian. And here, hold on. For those of you watching on YouTube, again, I'll put up a graphic that's truly frightening, because the cone of uncertainty shows it going kind of right over Puerto Rico again. And like a direct hit on South Florida, almost right where I am, 8 a.m. Sunday morning, just in case you were wondering.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have that to look forward to.
Well, it's only the Democrats on this campaign trail, and only the 46th president of these United States with a D behind his or her name,
mm-hmm,
are willing to address the crisis. And,
yep,
and as that Amazon burns, and as we try and rectify this horrific, horrible mess that Donald Trump seems to continue to exacerbate and or ignore, it's only the Democrats who are willing to invest in renewable energy jobs and exceed those fossil fuel jobs, even right here in Oregon. It's a national growing trend. Investing in wind, wave, solar are critical, and it's only the Democratic Party that's going to help get us there. So,
yeah, great.
Nicole, I am fired up after this weekend. I know that the some of our votes we took didn't quite go our well, but man, we have amplified the need to find an abatement to climate change now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thrilled that all of our Democratic candidates are taking this seriously and going to address this critical climate crisis.
Absolutely.
On the campaign
trail. Let me just say one last thing, though. I'm really disappointed is to calm a word in the DNC. I put out my most retweeted tweet this weekend, and I was actually tweet quoted in Newsweek, and it's amazing. Nina Turner retweeted me, and Sean King retweeted me, and I'm looking for the original tweet to see if I can find it. What I said, here's what I wrote. I was retweeting something, a BBC News article. The headline reads, "Amazon fires, Bolsonaro says Brazil cannot fight them." And I wrote, "The planet is literally burning, and the DNC won't allow a climate debate." I listened to that thing on Saturday, sitting here at my computer, my head shaking the entire time as Tom Perez was droning on and on about, frankly, bullshit. I was so disgusted with it. And my view, I'm glad, Matt, you're a good party guy, and we need people like that. I hate this. I hate the way this party is run. Let me put it that way. I think Tom Perez is horrible. I think they don't listen to the people. I think they're running the risk of alienating the young progressive wing of the Democratic Party, which is now the energized wing of the party. And if they pull this shit where they are all in and trying to, you know, push Joe Biden over Bernie or Elizabeth, there's going to be a big problem. And so I just hope, you know, minds like yours at the DNC can have some influence on Tom Perez and the other establishment people who I'm so scared are poised to do the same thing as they did last time. They fixed the election last time in favor of Hillary Clinton instead of letting it play out naturally. I'm not saying Bernie would have necessarily won the primary, but they should have kept their fingers out of the till. I think the DNC's role is to stay neutral in a primary. They don't feel that way. And I'm really concerned that they're going to try to push us towards a, quote, centrist, or what they call a moderate, which is what I call a conservadem, and it will alienate all the young people who are the ones who are activated right now.
Well, some of the reforms we've fought for in my time on the DNC since 2017, including superdelegate reform, allows for voters in primary and caucus states to determine who our nominee is going to be. An unpledged automatic delegates, aka superdelegates,
yeah,
will only participate in the second round.
Yeah,
and as a newly elected DNC member, I'm one of those superdelegates who advocated to roll back my undemocratic automatic
authority.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be there at all.
That came from the bottom up.
Yeah, but Matt, they shouldn't. I'm sorry. They shouldn't be there at all. We're looking. What my prediction is, we're going to have a brokered convention, because right now it looks like you got Biden, Bernie, and Elizabeth Warren, the three of them at the top. I honestly don't think anyone's going
to. I wouldn't rule out. I hear you in regards to the polling that we're hearing in the traditional media, but I wouldn't rule out some other great candidates, including but not limited to Mayor Pete.
Oh God,
Secretary. Julian Castro,
maybe VP,
Senator Kamala Harris.
Oh God, no! you know,
these are some of the candidates who are really on fire
and are really horrible.
We have 23 candidates, and a lot more than just three of them are firing folks up. That's what I'm seeing. That energy is going to activate the grassroots base, and it's the grassroots base. It's the people powered. It's the youth movement. It's that sunrise movement that's going to lead the direction of not just the Democratic Party, but ultimately our Democratic nominee.
Well, I agree.
The Democratic Party may be perceived at this juncture as top down, but fundamentally, we elected and reelected Barack Obama from the bottom up.
Right,
it is a grassroots people.
Yeah, but they appointed Tom Perez. They appointed Hillary Clinton. Matt, I love you, and I'm glad you play the party game so well. I could never do it. I'd be fighting with everyone there. My cautionary tale here is to the DNC to tell them to keep their distance. Let the people decide. They need to take their thumbs off the scale and let the people decide. And my worry is that they won't do that. That they will. There's a group down here in South Florida. I'm going to speak with its leader tomorrow. He's a county commissioner now. He's been a sort of an ancillary politico here who never quite made it to Congress, if you know what I mean. And there's a group of like 20 Democrats, I'm doing the air quotes here, who are just brutally anti Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They're good with any of the other candidates, but they're warning that we need a centrist if we're going to win. My warning is, if you try to usurp the power of the young, active, involved people, we're going to lose. If the DNC tries to determine who's going to win, if the DNC shows favoritism again, we're going to lose. A lot of us do not hold the party in very high regard. I love that you're part of it, because I think you're the future of it, Matt. But what the leadership of the Democratic Party is doing now is running many of us away. I said publicly, if I still lived in California, I'd be no party affiliation. In Florida, because of close primaries, I have to be registered as a Democrat. But this party has so alienated me that I don't feel like I'm a part of it. it's sort of the alternative to the shit show that's going on in Washington now. So anyway, if you have a chance to talk to leadership, tell them to let the young people do what they do and to let them have their voice and not shut them down.
Well, I think folks, especially the 23 candidates, even the six or seven who weren't with us this weekend, were listening loud and clear to the youth-led movement, the Sunrise movement, to those of us who are advocating passionately for a greater climate crises conversation. Folks are going to turn to states like Washington and states like Oregon, states that are actively working for clean energy jobs, that are actively investing in the future of our planet, investing in education through our student success measure right here in Oregon. I invite you to just get out of Florida for a little while, for crying out loud, Nicole. I've spent some time in Florida. You got to come to the West Coast. The West is best.
Oh, I know.
We listen right here. We listen to our grassroots, and it's the people that drive the power of the Democratic Party right here. And I'm confident with our primary and our caucus states determining who our nominee is quite clearly in 2020. Though I'm going to vote my heart in the primary and my head in the general, and hopefully we'll be able to vote both our heart and our mind come November. The most important thing, I can't come back to it again, is to repeal and replace Donald Trump.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because what he's doing is rolling this planet backwards, and he's putting us on a doomsday clock with his lack of climate agenda. His agenda is a singular-minded agenda. He cares about his brand only and has no intellectual curiosity and no respect for the magnitude of the office he holds. I don't even want to begin to engage about what happens and what goes through the mind of Donald Trump. It is pretty singularly focused. It's far from forward thinking. I'm watching my P's and Q's very, very, very closely because I know I'm live on the radio with you. But I can't underscore enough, Nicole, how critical it is that we not only engage the grassroots, but we allow the grassroots to lift up the voices of our candidates, who are going to continue to lift up the voices of the next generation, the future leaders of this planet.
Well, that's a message that Tom Perez needs to get. And I've reached out to him to come on the show. They don't even return my calls. So that shows you how much respect they have for some of the grassroots progressive wing of the party. Anyway, Matt Keating, hopefully we'll keep this dialogue going throughout the election. I love hearing all that you're up to, and I love that you're so involved. And thank you for coming on today.
Well, thank you. And I miss you, my friend. Thank you for doing what you do.
I miss you, too. Take care, and thanks for joining us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So Matt Keating, yes, an old colleague of mine who grew up. Again, he was 21 when we worked together at 91X. I was the old lady at the radio station. I was a grandmotherly 37 at the time. Yeah, you see why I felt. It was alternative music. I mean, so, and I've always been young musically, but yeah, you know what I mean. Anyway, I hope my message got through. Watching that that event on Saturday, live streaming, was so depressing. I was yelling at the computer. Tom Perez needs to go. He is horrible. And I have no doubt that this Democratic Party leadership, Tom Perez goes on Stephanie Miller's show because she's a DNC shill. I'm not. I criticize them. She doesn't. You know, I guess some of the things that Donald Trump does is not unique to Republicans. Just saying. All right. It is Tuesday. She wasn't here last week, but I believe Gotta Laugh is here today. I have such a great what's news, but I don't want to waste, you know, take away time from Laffy. So let's do this, and then maybe we'll do that.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Uh-oh, I see it ringing, but it's not picking up. Uh-oh. Hey, Laffy? I don't know. For some reason, she's going to have to call me. Let me send her a quick note Yes, Tom Perez is awful, just terrible. All right, Laffy, I'm calling you. Call me because it's not going through when I call you. Gotta Laugh. So try calling me. There we go. See. Hold on. Damn it. We're coming. I think. Okay. All right. Now, let's do this again so it sounds nice and professional.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes, every Tuesday, most Tuesdays, we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh to, you know, shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. First, we got to get her on the line. So I know we called. Hello?
Sorry, that was hilarious. Okay, you've reached the Summer of Crazy Trump Headlines hotline.
Perfect. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Press one if you think when Trump called himself the chosen one, it was because he thought they chose him to be Sean Spicer's partner on Dancing with the Stars.
Please. That I might. I was going to say that I'd pay to see, but no, I wouldn't. No. Not at all.
Only if you want to lose your lunch.
Right.
Press two, if you think when Trump heard about the Amazon fires, he laughed with glee and said, "It serves Jeff Bezos right."
Absolutely. I have no doubt.
Oh, my goodness. And press three, if you think after Trump got turned down for trying to buy Greenland, he immediately put in bids to buy Orange County, Yellowstone National Park, the Red Sea, the Blue Ridge Mountains, and the White House.
Oh, God,
we got through it.
By the way, speaking of Doral, you know, the golf club in Miami.
The city.
There is a city. The city is called Doral.
Bedbug City.
You're right.
Yeah.
There was just a big story in the Miami Herald with pictures of this one guy who he just settled with bedbug bites all over his body. And
all over his back.
All over.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. In fact, I have a little list here that I made while I was hanging out, listening to you guys, about all the stupid ass things that Trump did in the last day or so.
Okay.
So here we go. One of them is that he denied that there were bed bugs at Doral, but he settled the court case where the guest sued over the bed bugs.
Exactly. Yep.
So you can't deny it when there are court records. Okay, he wanted to buy Greenland, of course, and canceled the trip to Denmark when he was told no. That's a little crazy.
Yes, you think?
Yep. Yeah. He called Jews who vote for Democrats disloyal.
Yes,
that's
he did.
That's kind of weird, isn't it, that he did that? Hereby ordered, he said, businesses to not work with China.
Yes, he did. He tweeted it, so it's in writing. I hereby order businesses to leave China. Like, who the fuck do you think you are?
He's an idiot. That's who.
Oh, my God.
He called himself the chosen one, which I mentioned in my press ones.
I am the chosen one.
And he wants to nuke hurricanes.
Yes, he wants to nuke hurricanes.
Because that would have worked out. Well, that wouldn't spread radiation anywhere.
Of course not.
He then said China called him twice, but oops, they didn't, and they denied doing it twice.
That's right.
They issued another denial today. So, that was stupid. He said he met bilaterally with two leaders who were at the climate meeting at the time.
Right. The reason he used as an excuse why he was asked why he didn't go to the climate meeting, and he said, well, here, let me just play, got the clip for you. Here we go.
Okay. Did you make it to the climate session? Were there any conclusions that you could
I'm going to. In fact, it's going to be our next session.
No, it already happened.
So we haven't had it yet.
In fact, it had already happened, and that's why the reporter was asking that question. So what was the excuse?
Yeah.
According to the White House press secretary, quote, the president had scheduled meetings and bilaterals with Germany and India. So a senior member of the Trump administration attended in his stead. The problem here, both the leaders of Germany and India were at that climate change meeting, as the photos showed very clearly, while the president's chair remained empty.
Oh, remained empty. Oops, he did it again.
He acted like a stupid jerk. You know, but the other thing that he does with all these these things that I listed, and those were just the ones that came to, into my mind, is that there is documentation on either tape or in writing or in court records to disprove everything he says. So it's not just that he throws out something and everyone goes, well, well, gee, I wonder if, you know, that could possibly be true. No, people have denied it on the record. So
go
figure, you know?
Go figure. What?
That's crazy. That's just crazy, Nicole. That's crazy.
It's insane.
Okay,
so
you want to go right into Tweety Pies?
Sure.
Because I've got a few.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to my Tweety Pies.
All right, what's happening on the Twitters?
Well, here's one that just happened. An Empty Wheel was the one that tweeted it. She's quote tweeting over this. New Department of Homeland Security will transfer $116 million from other agency components to fund the increase in ICE detention beds this year, including 3.4 million from FEMA during hurricane.
During hurricane season. And did you hear what I said to Matt just as we were wrapping up? There's a hurricane bearing down on us that should strike right where I'm sitting Sunday morning. Hello.
Exactly. I noticed that. You know, I was actually keeping track of that on your behalf. Mm. So Empty Wheel said a DHS taking money away from keeping the country safe to running concentration camps.
Yep.
That's always so
reassuring. By the way,
just
a total aside here, but did you ever watch Orange is the New Black on Netflix?
Yeah, until this last season.
Okay, you need to watch this new season, the new final season. Last season with the riot and the whole prison takeover, it really jumped the shark.
Yeah.
They are back. This is the best season they've ever done.
Oh, good.
I believe. And they totally take on ICE and the immigrant detention centers or concentration camps. That is the storyline for this final season. And it is so well done. I have goosebumps just talking about it. We finished watching it just a couple of nights ago. It's brilliant. I can't recommend it highly enough. Even if you never watched Orange is the New Black, watch that last season. It's
oh, good. Okay.
It's so good. Yes.
We weren't going to because of the season before, but now that you've said that, we will.
Yep. Last season is almost an afterthought. Watch this season. It is that good.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you told me that.
Sure.
Okay. So Right Wing Watch tweeted about this. YouTube shutters several white nationalist accounts.
It's about time.
It is. They've terminated a handful of YouTube channels that featured content promoting white nationalism. I'm trying to find the ones that they shuttered, but I can't. I'm not going to scroll through whole thing. But anyway, that was a good news story. It's just a little scratch on the surface, though. I mean, only four, I think, that they've gotten rid of. But they'll do more, I hope.
I hope.
Zoe Tillman, I never know how to say her name. She does legal coverage for BuzzFeed.
Right.
And she said a D.C. federal judge just heard arguments on whether to grant an injunction blocking the White House from temporarily suspending Brian Karam's White House credentials.
No ruling
yet. The judge is expected to do one by Friday or Tuesday. And then she goes on to say, Judge Rudolph Contreras didn't give a clear indication of how he'd rule. He said the standards articulated by the White House were vague, so he was struggling to figure out where the line was, but he also said he didn't buy that Karam was an innocent actor in the situation.
Huh. Well, you know, Brian was back on the show with me on Friday, and he is, I'm sorry, we watched the video of that incident together. Brian Karam did nothing wrong.
He was,
you know, laughing at these jokers, these clowns who were masquerading as, you know, they're the real journalists and we're the fake news. It's opposite world. We talk about it all the time here on the show. And all he said, the only thing he said was, come on over here, buddy. Let's go outside. We'll talk for a while. Well, they tried to make that sound like, oh, let's go out back so I can beat your ass. He never went there. That wasn't his tone. That wasn't his attitude. It was the other people going, he could beat your ass. It's opposite world. It's total nonsense.
I've seen that clip. I know. I remember at the time I watched that clip. And Brian Karam isn't stupid either, so he wouldn't do that.
No.
There's that, you know, to think of.
Exactly.
Here's some at least kind of good news. This is from Mike Gerke of Nowhere.
Okay.
It just says on hiatus.
Okay.
And he said, the exit ramp. Of 293 Republicans serving in Congress when Trump became president, ready? 14 left office early in 2017-2018. 34 did not seek re-election in 2018, 2 lost primaries in 2018, 30 lost to Dems in 2018, 2 are leaving office early in 2020, and 2019 to 2020, and 11 will not seek re-election in 2020, equals 93 or 31.7% gone.
Good. Well, let's make it 100% gone, then I'll be happy.
Oh, yes. Please, let's do that. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Senate, though, in the Senate races, but maybe we'll surprise
the Democrat. Let me just say, out of everything, I mean, yeah, getting Donald Trump the hell out of there is really important. And if this was a normal year, I think I had this conversation with John Nichols of The Nation last week, as he asked me, what do you think is more important, winning the presidency or winning the Senate? And I said, if it was any year other than this, I would say the Senate, certainly, mm-hmm. because we're getting nothing done with Mitch McConnell in there. We need the Senate. And usually, you know, the presidency is more of sort of a figurehead. It's the Congress right. that makes the laws and does, you know, appropriations and everything. But this year, under Trump, all bets are off. I mean, right. I have an interview that'll air on the show tomorrow with my congressman. We've recorded it because his schedule is so tight. And so it'll air tomorrow. And we talk about just this same very thing. And what I pushed him on was the fact that Congress is constitutionally required to perform oversight of the executive branch. Donald Trump is doing everything he can to render Congress obsolete. He is not right. allowing them to perform oversight. He is telling anybody who's ever worked at the White House, and many who never did, that mm-hmm. just because they know him, they've talked to him, they've looked upon his visage, that they have, what does he call it, absolute immunity, and they can ignore congressional subpoenas. To me, that's the president doing everything he can to render Congress obsolete.
And government obsolete.
Absolutely. To become
which a dictatorship. Which I'll be getting into in a second.
So anyway, I brought that up with my congressman, who does sit on the Judiciary Committee, and he is the chair of the Ethics Committee. And hopefully he's listening, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, at least, first of all, we'd have to get 60 to do anything in the Senate that we really, really,
right.
really,
well,
really.
You know what? When we get in, I'm sorry, but we need to kill the filibuster.
Yeah.
Because of everything the other side has done to us, the keeping the Supreme Court seat open for a year so that Trump could appoint just a horrific person, that is unconstitutional. I'm sorry. And so we need to fight fire with fire. No more mm-hmm. no more Dems taking the high road. We need to beat them at their own game.
Yeah, but they won't do that. It's driving everyone
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Ugh. All right. Here's something from Sana Saeed. She is with AJ Plus. She's with, I guess,
Al Jazeera, maybe.
Yeah, Al Jazeera Plus. I'm trying to read what her thing, hot take monger, she calls herself.
Okay.
an incoming Harvard freshman. A 17-year-old Palestinian boy had his visa canceled and was deported because U.S. officials searched his phone and laptop and said his friends had social media posts that were critical of the United States.
Oh, my God.
Here's the quote.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
After the 5 hours ended, she called me into her room and she started screaming at me. She said, this is from the kid, she said that she found people posting political points of view that opposed the U.S. on my friends list.
And
that's it. That's just the quote that I pulled out that was quoting the kid. In other words, confirming what I just read to you.
You know, oh, my God.
This is crazy.
These
this
are
is,
scary this times. All right. So I mentioned Orange is the New Black. I have another show for you.
What?
It's on HBO. And mm-hmm. I think there were only 6 episodes. I just finished the 4th one. It's called Years and Years. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's with Emma Thompson, who plays this British woman who is sort of a Donald Trump-like figure who comes out of nowhere and gets power in Parliament, and she is, you know, she's the female version of Trump. It's horrific. It is realistic. It's scary. It's our dystopian reality. I mean, I used to call things like this a dystopian future, but it's set like 5 years from now.
And it's just terrifying, but it's very, very well done. So years and years now, it's on demand.
Years and years.
Years and years. And again, there's six episodes. I don't know if it's going to come back next year or if it was just a limited series, but I stumbled on it. I saw somebody raved about it on Facebook or Twitter or something. And I'm like, oh, I'll check this out. And it sucked me in. Oh my God, it's frightening in the way that The Handmaid's Tale is frightening.
I'm not sure I'd be able to stomach it right now, to be honest.
I understand. You might not. Right. Because they deal with immigration. They deal with the bigotry and hatred and the Trumpian mentality, the maggot mentality. And it's, except instead of being set here, it's set in the UK. And it's just terrifying.
No. Close enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so NBC News reported that the executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans is the latest official to resign from the conservative LGBTQ group after it recently endorsed Trump for re-election. And LOL GOP said, soon Trump will be touting his endorsement from the Log Cabin Republican. Singular.
Yes, I got that.
For listening.
Right,
yes. Not
one,
you, them.
The
anyone
one left.
Listening.
Yes, right.
It's true.
Yep.
One by one. It's like the NRA. Like one by one, they just drop out and drop like flies.
Yep, yep.
Come to think of it, it's like the House of Representatives, too.
Yep. Here's
the thing about that I was referring to when I said I'll get to that soon about destroying our government along with what were we just talking about that he's destroying?
Everything.
Oh, my God.
Everything.
Well, everything, yeah.
Everything.
From Robert Pearsall, J.D., he's a lawyer, and he's at UC Berkeley, I believe, a congressional liaison. The Federal Election Commission is being gutted at precisely the wrong time.
Oh my God.
Election. Election lawyer Rick Hazen notes that without a quorum of commissioners, protecting 2020 elections from foreign interference, quote, is gone.
Yep. Yeah, this is a really important story that I'm not hearing talked about anywhere. But basically, the FEC doesn't have four staffers anymore after the latest resignation. And they're, in effect, shutting down because they can't function. We have a federal election coming up. Our last one was hacked by the Russians, which we know for sure. Donald Trump is playing footsie with Putin, has no intention of keeping them from interfering in any future elections, and we have no Federal Elections Commission anymore.
Plus, North Korea and China are fiddling around, too. And last night, actually, Rachel Maddow did a whole segment on this, and she had the woman, I forgot her name, Harris? I forgot her name.
Maybe.
Anyway, she said, it's not as bad as it sounds, but it's bad.
Okay,
they can still do some things, but they can't do anything they'd have to vote on.
Oh, my God.
So
oh
it's awful.
God.
But
it's terrible.
But there are things that, I mean, people are still working there. They're not shut down. They're not going to be shutting down.
But there are no commissioners left. They don't have four commissioners,
right.
So
that's
they
the
can't
thing,
vote
that
on
they
anything.
Can't vote on it. It's terrible. She wasn't saying it was good. She just said it's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay. All right.
All right. Speaking of Rachel Maddow, she tweeted, Trump called Baltimore rat and rodent infested 4 months after he tried ending its federal rat control funding.
Oh, my God.
This is how everything is documented. Does he not get that?
Yeah. You know, we could go on and on and on and on about Trump, and we often do. You know.
Yes, we do.
But I've got another problem.
Oh, what's that?
Come on, man.
Oh yes.
Oh my God. I have a whole line here of things that he has said recently that in my mind are disqualifying.
Yeah, I'm aware of some of them, I'm sure. And please do go ahead with it. I agree with you. I'm worried because again, I know a lot of people like him.
Yep.
I don't know if he could make it through a debate properly or let alone a whole campaign against Trump.
In fact, let me read to you something that's now circulating on Twitter that's pretty frightening. It's a, let me see if I can find it again because I just lost it. There's a, it's an article up at Naked Capitalism. And it's an article written by a woman who's a political animal like us who went to a Biden rally, and she explains there are not many of them, and this may explain why. Quote, then Biden came out, very frail, fragile, and super thin, slow, deliberate steps. Skin was tissue papery and getting to that translucent stage that very elderly people can have. I was so shocked. He looks at least 85 to 90, not 76. And it goes on from there. Really, at nakedcapitalism.com, it was posted on the 20th. It was posted yesterday, the 26th. It's devastating. And I look at that in the wake of, like I said, I've got all these clips starting from,
right,
you know, the debate, the second debate, where he comes out and says to Kamala Harris, you know, go easy on me. Then I don't know if you heard this one. I mentioned this a week or two ago. I caught this in an interview he did with Anderson Cooper.
Yes, you played it on our show, I think.
Right. Okay, he gave what I thought was a very sensitive piece of information that had not been released to the press about the Sandy Hook kids. I thought that was reprehensible. I'm not going to play it again because, frankly, I haven't seen it repeated anywhere else. And I think all it would do is serve to, you know, hurt the parents and the survivors. So, but that I blew my mind. Yeah. Then, you know, there was this gaffe.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Okay, so he did that. Then he said,
and ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get up. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. Even his supporters know who he is. We got to let them know who we are. We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
No, really? I mean, God. And I heard that line on TV this week. I heard him say, we choose truth over lies. And I'm like, oh, he got it right there. But you know what? You hear that, and I hear it, and all I hear is we truth over facts. Then I have the quote of him lying about meeting with the Parkland kids after the shooting in Parkland. He had already been out of office for over a year. And then there was this one. I'm sorry. This, to me, is the deal breaker.
Imagine what would have happened if, God forbid, Barack Obama had been assassinated after becoming the de facto nominee. What would have happened in America?
I mean, are you kidding? But that's all that people hear. He went on. He kept going.
Right.
Things changed.
One last thing. Hear this.
You had over 40 kids shot in Kent State on a beautiful lawn.
You had over 40 kids shot in Kent State? No, four were killed, and I believe seven others were shot. He can't keep doing this. This is not going to be successful for him. He should bow out gracefully. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's 76 years old. Mick Jagger is 76 years old, and for all accounts I heard from his from their show in Los Angeles last week, he fucking rocked it.
Oh yeah, no, there's old and there's acting old.
And there's Bernie Sanders, who, you know, can outrun me any day of the week. Joe Biden needs to go home.
And the thing that I disagree with that people are saying is, well, you know, Trump is way worse. He's a liar.
Well, of course.
But the thing is, you want a candidate who is strong. You don't want a candidate who you have to keep correcting.
Right.
And who appears weak, even though, you know, for those of you who love Biden, even if he's not what people are saying that he, you know, doddering or whatever, if you want someone, you don't have to keep correcting.
Right.
That's a big minus.
And making excuses
and it can be played up big time.
Right. I want someone we don't have to keep making excuses for. Someone who speaks his mind and says what he means, not a gaffe machine. And it's more than just gaffes. It's, you know, people are starting to talk about his mental acuity, that, you know, which can dampen with age. And in Trump's case, it certainly has. I think in Biden's case, it has too.
Well, the thing is, it's cumulative. If it was once or twice, you know,
exactly.
It kind of went away for a while, I remember, in the news, and then now it's back again. Because it's cumulative. You start adding these up, and that's when you start getting a little nervous about him.
Exactly.
Just so you know, a news item came in. Trump officially nominates Eugene Scalia to be Labor Secretary.
Oh, God.
I want to die.
Oh, God.
Can we just go back to the womb now? Do you have room in yours? I'm up to the proverbial here. It's just too much. Here's one from Shannon Watts from Mom's Demand on Joe Walsh running for president.
Yep. Oh God.
pundits media, and blue check marks cheering this man on. A man with a track record of zealotry, racism, and bigotry equal to the president helped manifest this headline about his perceived moral superiority. This is not a game. People forget it's not a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. People do forget. Yep. They get caught up in the game, in the horse race, in the quotes, in the sort of entertainment value of the presidential race. This is our lives, as you pointed out with the Amazon. This is our lives.
Yep.
The people don't get how important this Amazon fires are and what's at stake. And also the one thing that your buddy forgot to mention when he was listing all the repercussions from environmental damage is national security.
Oh, of course. Of course.
He just happened to, he was, you know, running through a lot of stuff, and that one just struck me that he left out. National security is affected by the climate crisis. And people tend to overlook that.
Uh-huh. No, that's true. That is very true. And by the way, sorry, I was answering someone in the chat room who said, well, Joe Biden is the leader, is he not? I said, he is not. In fact, there's a brand new Monmouth poll out, which is one of the DNC's preferred polls. It's a reputable, credible poll that has Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren tied at 20% each, and Joe Biden at 19%.
Yeah, but they're saying that's a small poll. It's an outlier because today another one came out where he was like 30 points ahead.
Who's saying that?
Huh?
Again, what they show is with people 50 and over, Joe Biden is up there with 33%. 50 and below, he registered 6% for Joe Biden of the 50 and below. Now, I guess I'm, you know, out of my element here. But you know, that's where his support is coming from, the old people.
Definitely. And,
right.
And as somebody over 50, I would not vote for him unless I had to. Random tweet responding to nuking the hurricanes. He said, a 10% tariff on all Western African-made hurricanes should fix it.
Of course.
I had to get something funny in there because I'm dying.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
I'm just really so down.
I mentioned earlier. Let me just get this out. I was tweet quoted in Newsweek. I sent it to you. That tweet that I put out about the planet's dying and the DNC won't hold a climate debate was picked up, and it was picked up by Newsweek. And I'm in the middle of a paragraph, and there's my tweet. And it said Nicole Sandler. And I'm thinking, who the fuck is Nicole Sandler?
That was so funny. Who's Nicole Sandler?
Really, it didn't identify. It just said Nicole Sandler. And I'm thinking, why would they tweet some random? We're going to quote some random woman who nobody knows who she is.
I know. Why didn't they give you
radio
an
host or something?
I like best radio host on air.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, so on the subject of Joe Biden, this is from yesterday.
Okay.
Yasmin Tayeb, excuse me, a Democratic National Committee woman from Virginia, a former candidate for Virginia Senate, she cited the Monmouth poll of Biden dropping drastically. And she said, can we finally put to rest this notion that Biden is the most electable? Can we simply support the most inspiring candidate running on a bold, progressive agenda that will get everyone out to the polls, including the youth, people of color, working families, immigrants, et cetera? Mm. So that's right in line with what you were saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she's right. We need to light a fire under people. I don't want to settle. You know, obviously we have to be smart and we have to think about what to do in the general. But my God, this is the primary. As somebody said to me about the climate debate, I was like saying, damn DNC, you know, do the climate debate. What's wrong with you? And she said, no, they would just be ripping at each other and attacking each other. We don't need that. I'm thinking, wait a minute. That's what a debate is, a debate. So we shouldn't ever have debates. We shouldn't have the regular debates because people will attack each other's plans.
Right.
That's
doesn't
insane.
Make sense. It makes no sense. And to the point of this, Bernard Phillips in the YouTube chat room is like, yeah, but if Biden's the nominee, you'll all vote for him. Yeah, of course. But I will do everything possible between now and then to make sure that Joe Biden is not the nominee. Because in my heart, I believe if he's the nominee, we wind up with 4 more years of Donald Trump. Period. That's the worry. I want someone who's going to get people excited. 15,000 people showed up at a town hall meeting in Seattle to see Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
Joe Biden pulls in dozens when he does a rally or something, which is not very often. enthusiasm, excitement is what we need, and Joe Biden does not deliver any of that. Just
enthusiasm.
Being
it's here. What's for dinner.
There you go. Gotta laugh. Yeah. All right. Find her here Tuesdays and on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. Thank you, Laffy.
Yep. Thank you, too.
All right. See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Come back at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network for the broadcast. We'll have another great show for you over there. And then, yes, I will be back tomorrow. We'll be speaking with my congressman, Ted Deutsch, among others. So I'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep the faith. Bye.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.